for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
Tuning in to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, hello.
I think you have the wrong one for me.
Oh gosh, I always do that.
This
I'm like, it feels so nice in my hands to put the ones right next to me, but I guess it makes me really feel cool.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, welcome back. It's Kaylin and Rebecca. We're here today, both of us.
Both of us in the same place at the same time.
Before we get started, we're with CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thanks for listening. This is Sociologic. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. But yeah, Rebecca, how have you been? Welcome back to this side of the pond.
I know. I've been across the pond. I've been back home, and it was so nice because it's like a breath of fresh air with familiarity, and then you are like suffocating in the familiarity and want to come back to the breath of fresh air of not familiar. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I got to see a lot of my friends. I got to see my family. It was a nice experience to be back
home. Your cat.
I got to see my cats. Yeah, my cats. I now get to see them from a screen again, which is so sad.
It's so much less fun to pet them that way.
I know. But how about you? I mean, I came back and you weren't even in this side.
I know.
My God, she was across the border.
We had reading break, which for any Americans that are listening is essentially spring break, but we're supposed to do homework too. it's unfortunate in that sense, but it's good. But yeah, now I got to see family. I got to hang out with my cats too. And also meet my friend's cats who are like little kittens that aren't even 6 months yet. They were super cute. Go Cougs. Watched some Wazoo Cougar basketball. It was great. But yeah, no, it's been so long since we filmed a show together. This is crazy. I'm excited to be back in the booth with you.
Yeah, being back in the booth. My God.
Yeah, shout out to Julian who was here a couple weeks ago. Thanks for helping me out. And then
thanks for taking over.
Yeah, it was big shoes to fill. Rebecca's, of course. She just has such a good radio voice. So,
my God. Stop it. I'm blushing.
Oh, yeah. Also, for those listening, I would like to tell you that Rebecca and I accidentally twinned in our outfits today.
Oh, yeah.
We're feeling very put together. We're both in jeans and, like, maroon shirts. And it's really just to know how, like, in sync we are, of course.
Of course, we are just
accidentally always matching.
Yeah. I mean, are you really co-hosts if you're not matching outfits?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
it's a high bar we set.
Exactly.
But yeah, and then you had a show last week.
Yeah, I did a solo show. It was very weird because obviously when I started at the station back in August, I was doing intravenous, and that was obviously not by myself. I was with like Robin, I was with Stella from Slumber Party. I was with like a bunch of people, but then I also did open mics, which I soloed the whole of my open mics for so long. And then I came and stopped my open mics, started Sociologic, where obviously we were partnered in it.
Yeah.
To then going back to doing a solo show, it was really weird to not be bouncing ideas off of someone. And like just chatting and things, like to be just mulling over ideas without anyone having an input except me, myself, and I.
Yeah, and of course the awesome listeners.
Of course. Just
but they, you guys aren't very good at talking.
Yeah, that's not the same as actually hearing
the
a voice.
Pleasure of listening to us. Yeah. You're welcome.
But yeah, it was strange. I mean, also kind of peaceful. Nothing like against it, but it's like kind of weird, like and peaceful being in like the sub when no one's in it. Because also it was like you said, reading break. So there wasn't even students just like mulling around on campus. And because it's so late, there's no one else in the studio. So I was just like sat in my booth.
Yeah. For those of you who aren't at Simon Fraser, the Sub is our student union building. It's like 5 stories tall. It's got all of our clubs and stuff, beautiful big windows looking at the beautiful mountains.
God, awesome. The sunset views.
The sunset views are great, except for that people close the blinds, and so that annoys me. But it's okay. And we must go through hard things.
Yeah.
Today, we have very special news. It is round two of our theory deep dive. We know how much y'all love this a handful of weeks ago when we ran this. So you're welcome. We're bringing it back. Isn't this exciting?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, the feedback we got was ecstatic over it.
Can we talk to the people in charge here to see if I can get like a drum roll button and like an applause button?
Oh my
button?
God, yeah. Yay! Have your own mini soundboard of recorded sounds.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got a theory deep dive today. Well, it's kind of all centered around the idea of the self, which is fun because we are all selves, I guess.
Yeah, and I think like as well, like the difference between like the self and your identity and how they are interlinked. Mm-hmm. And kind of because everyone has a self, but your identities are something that you're constructing. It's kind of different. For so sure. It's like how they interlink and the difference is we got some different theoretical people, perspectives, concepts.
Yeah, big thinkers.
big thinkers
with their names
big
plastered
thinkers.
On some ideas.
Because I think, I don't know how much you learn about the self in sociology because it was a big part of my A level and then my university, like first year. It was like the main guy is called Goffman, and he wrote this book like back in the 50s of the presentation of the self, and he is like one of the core sociologists for like the foundation of my curriculum in England.
Interesting.
So I don't know how much you've delved into the self or delved into Goffman specifically.
I mean, we definitely talked about him, but you're making it sound like it was like the very like base stone, and I feel like we touched on him, talked about him, gave him like his fair share, but then
gave him his dues,
paid the dues.
No, because he's like one of the core sociologists, I feel, in like
Definitely.
When we talk about it back home, particularly, it's like one of the first sociologists you're introduced to.
Yeah.
Back in when I was like 16. Was introduced to Goffman, back in the day.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I'll play a song and then we can get chatty-chatty-chatty-chatty-lackin', you could even say. This, my friends, is The Actress by Goldie Baudelaire. Yeah.
You're doing too.
And we're back. Thanks for listening to Sociologic. We're happy to have you here. And y'all, it's y'all's lucky day. We're doing a theory deep dive talking about the self. So Rebecca's going to start us off talking about Irving Goffman.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Well, he's a Canadian-American sociologist, so I feel like he's kind of perfect for this show. I mean, you're American. I'm technically Canadian. We're in Vancouver.
Yeah. It's true. Like, it's true. Wow. Look at us.
Look at that. But he is kind of, I say, forefront pioneer of looking into kind like the self, and the first one to kind of delve into breaking apart the idea of each person's self. And he does that through, they call it a dramatological, dramaturgical approach. So it's essentially where he compares social interaction to a theater performance, and it kind of portrays the nuances and significances of what happens in face-to-face social interaction. And how each person involved in this theatre performance that is social interaction has different role playing and different versions of themselves. So they call it like your front stage and your backstage self, essentially. And you can have multiple of them. Like, it's not just you have one front stage, one backstage. That you can have multiple of each. And that the audience is the people that are observing the social interaction and the role playing that is kind of happening, is how it's put compared to a theatre performance. And so they say that, like, your backstage self is kind of self-explanatory. It's kind of your most, I guess, real self. It's where you can relax and not have, like, you're not performing as such. Like, in a theatre, when you're backstage, you're not performing. You're not on the stage. So you're not performing as such.
It really, it was very much emphasized to me that the backstage cannot happen in the presence of other people. That is, like, very much, like, as soon as you're around other people or, like, being perceived, basically, then that is your front stage. And the backstage is, like, when you're alone. Or at least, like, what's in your head, how you're perceiving yourself. Yeah, they give us lots of examples of that. A really easy one, I feel like, to comprehend in this day and age is, like, let's say you're, like, sitting down, you just went on a trip with your friends, and now you're making an Instagram post. When you're sitting at home, like, deciding what your caption's going to be, who you're going to tag, if you're going to put any song behind it, what pictures you're including, are you editing them at all of that is, like, in your backstage where you're trying to kind of curate an image of yourself, decide how, try to help influence how people will perceive you. But then that front stage is the actual post.
Yeah.
Does that?
Yeah.
Track. That's what we talked about for us. Or, like, the front stage is also, like, how you're commenting on other people's stuff, like, how you're, all of that. But the backstage is like that.
Yeah.
Planning.
I think, like, the idea that when you're your front stage self, you're conscious of other people. You're conscious that you have an audience, essentially, if you keep it in a dramaturgical approach.
Yeah.
It's that you're conscious that other people are seeing you at that moment. So it's not like you sat in your bedroom, curtains closed, by yourself, which is your backstage self. Like, if you were, for example, in your student accommodation and you're in your kitchen, you would potentially have your, even if you're alone, you potentially would have your front stage self out because you aren't in, like, your bedroom.
Yeah.
You're in, like, a public space where you're conscious that people could walk by, people could come down. So you're conscious that there's potentially an audience watching you. And it's this, like, it all comes under an overall theory called symbolic interactionism. And it's kind of a theory that is studying social interactions and how meanings are assigned to interactions, which links with the self, because you will attach meanings to different actions based on how you're portraying yourself in your front stage self and in your backstage self.
For sure.
It gets, like, so confusing when you, I feel like it gets kind of all muddled together, these things.
It gets theoretical.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Some of these things you have written down, I'm like, we didn't talk about this, because we have this little note that we're, like, working off of making our way through.
Yeah. No, yeah. So if we were kind of, I guess, I kind of tried to break down the different stages, the different stages of yourself, because in Goffman, so this is all from a book that he wrote in the 1950s, and obviously people have developed on his theory. His theory now is kind of, there's a lot of umming and ahhing over how relevant it is in contemporary society now. Yeah. Obviously, Goffman was writing without the age of the internet, so things are very different in society that have changed it. But when he was writing, he wrote about actually three stages. So you have your front stage, your backstage, and your off stage. So your front stage is described as being where you're formally performing and adhering to conventions that have a particular meaning for the audience. So it means that you know you're being watched and you're acting accordingly. So I guess if we link it to socialization, the previous theory deep dive, yes, you're acting according to the agents of, like, socialization and the social values that you've been socialized in.
And for those of you who tragically missed our last theory deep dive, socialization's elevator pitch is basically in interacting with your parents and your school and all, like, aspects of society, you're being socialized into how you act. That's how you see, like, different people in different areas are going to act differently based on what they do. Like, Rebecca will call them crisps and I'll call them chips and stuff like that. Did I translate that correctly?
Yeah, you did. Double check.
But yeah, stuff like that where there's certain ways that you act based on how you were raised, essentially, is the baseline muddled down very, very.
Like, you would be polite to your, like, if you were in front of your boss, you would be acting very polite, very punctual, very proper, because you're socialized, like, they have the authority over you.
Yeah, but then, like, some places will socialize you differently, like Silicon Valley. It's like, yeah, it's totally chill to wear, like, your jeans and t-shirt and stuff, you know, but maybe not on Wall Street. So stuff like that, where it's like different bodies of socialization. Like, the main ones are, like, the school, the family, and then, like, religious organizations, stuff like that. A lot of things that are, like, imparting these ideas of how you should be.
Continue. So that's, like, that's what the front stage self is. So you're fully aware that you're being watched and you're changing your behavior and yourself to act accordingly to fit in to whatever situation, whichever values that are there. And then your backstage self is where it, like, he wrote that it's where you truly get to be yourself and get rid of the roles that you're playing when you're in front of other people. So essentially it's the realist version of you because no one is watching you and you know no one's watching you.
So Rebecca, what does this mean? This is a question for you. Let's say that I'm with, like, my bestest friends in the world, or I'm, like, at home with my family, and I still performing on the front stage if I'm with the people that, like, in my mind, because there's, you know, when you're, like, talking to your friends, and I'm like, I feel like I can, like, just be myself around you, you know? That's, like, a phrase that's tossed around, versus, like, having to put on my customer service voice or talking to my kid's voice, like, stuff like that, where I have to, like, be on and presenting myself and, like... Yeah.
I think it's all to an extent, which
our
is like
favorite
phrase. Yeah, which is always said in sociology. But I think like if I'm looking back at myself, yes, I've felt that way and I've said that phrase of like I can be like fully myself with people, but I don't think I actually ever am 100% of the time. There's certain things I wouldn't potentially maybe say to certain friends, or there's potentially certain topics I wouldn't discuss with my parents. So I feel like it's just a more subtle way than, for example, putting on your customer service voice.
Yeah. Because even still, when, like, I'm with those people, like, there's still thoughts I'm having in my brain that I'm not sharing with the class.
Exactly. And so I think unless... Because you're having your own thoughts... You're being exposed to yourself 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's impossible not to.
Yes.
But you don't, like you said, you don't say those things to every single person close in your life. I think everyone will pick and choose what they say to different people.
Yeah.
So it's
sure.
a very, it's a much more subtle way. So I don't think anyone is actually ever their true, real self with anyone except themselves.
I guess I would say, I would critique that slightly and say mm-hmm. their true entire self.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, hanging with some people, like, I still feel like that is me and I'm still, like, portraying a lot of myself, yeah. but it's not everything. Because also, that's, like, humans are so incredibly complex, right? It's very hard Definitely. For me to be like, this is every aspect of my personality.
Yeah.
And I feel like even the, like, that's just something that happens over time, like, more and more you get introduced to, like, more aspects of people, you know?
Yeah. I think also subconsciously you may not know that certain things about yourself.
Oh, yeah, for
so,
sure. Have you ever, like, been doing something and somebody will, like, call you out on it and you're like, oh, that's weird?
Yeah.
I didn't know that that's weird. My bad.
No, yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people won't notice things about themselves until someone says it. I've felt like that a lot recently. In when I went home especially, I had a lot of my friends saying, you're so incredibly self-independent and you're so self-aware. And I said, really? Really? Because I think, like, I would not say I'm independent, like, really at all. But then they'll say, well, no, look at what you've done. Like, you up and moved countries on your own.
Not even like me, who moved 4 hours away.
Not knowing anyone. And I found it quite interesting because it's certain parts of yourself that you wouldn't even clock
yeah.
yourself until someone sure. like brings it up. I mean, I've had a lot this past week of going through my thought process with some of my close friends over a situation and them saying, like, it's good that you're so incredibly, like, self-aware over
mm-hmm.
things of how you're feeling. But to me, I was like, I don't know how I'm feeling. This is the problem.
I'm feeling so, yeah.
Like, I don't know how, I can't put into words how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, no, like, what you've just said is how you're feeling. Like, if it makes sense. So yeah. I think that a lot of the self is subconscious when you feel like you're being your entire true self.
For sure.
In front of others. I feel like I went on a complete ramble and it just got confusing.
No, I love it.
In my brain.
I hope you're still with us.
Yeah, I hope we didn't lose you on that. But there is also a third stage, which doesn't really get talked about much. I feel like when Goffman's self gets spoken about, it's literally just front stage, backstage.
Yeah, this was one of those things where I'm like, I haven't heard of
yeah.
that. We didn't talk about that here.
So there's actually the off stage.
What?
Whoa.
Crazy.
And it's kind of a bit of a weird one, I think, because I would kind of say off stage, backstage get used synonymously. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're backstage, you're not on stage, so you're off stage, right?
Yeah.
But one thing that's different is, like, I think the way that it's described here is that backstage, you're still in the theater performance to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
You're just back, right? Offstage is like you're completely out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because it's talking about, he says it's where individual actors meet the audience members independently of the team performance on the front stage. So it's sort of like, I guess, in a social interaction. If we were to say you and I were having a conversation like we are now
mm-hmm.
and say we had three people that were like in our friend group
mm-hmm.
watching our interaction, whatever it was.
You mean all of our listeners that are listening?
Exactly.
Right now?
But I think it's when one of us would then go out and take one of the audience members and interact with them.
Mm, I see.
But I don't really understand how that can be off stage. Because then aren't you just then having your own social interaction theater performance?
I feel like what I'm gleaning from this is that frequently, like, right now, my front stage is that I am a radio show host, right? I'm mm-hmm. working with you. We're radio show hosts of this. You're working within a structure or a team or a group working together on something. And that's not, you can be doing something individually, but still be within a group of, like, I'm like a bus driver and this is how the bus driver does things, right? Like, there's the set of expectations that go with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is where you're kind of removed from that role a little bit more, like removed from that precedent of like, I'm just like, it kind of strips them down to being more of a person, but not fully their backstage self, is what I'm gleaning from that. That could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But
because this is the other thing, the offstage stuff we actually didn't talk about in class. It's something that I found when I was kind of researching it, and that he wrote about the offstage self.
Gotcha.
In which I was like, come again? Is that just another word for backstage self?
What are you talking about, Goffman?
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's like the main aspects of the dramaturgical approach to social interaction in somewhat simple terms. And then he kind of goes into, that's like looking at the individual components of social interaction. And he goes through this idea of impression management, which I think is a really interesting concept of how people interacting in social settings, they're constantly engaged in this process, which is where individuals try to manipulate and control the impressions that others are forming over them.
You know what I'm realizing is actually that Instagram example that I came up with was totally from when we were talking about this in class. So that is, disregard that from earlier, but now just like rewind it in your head and then put it right here. Of how, like, you're curating how you want people to be seen.
Yeah, because it's, obviously, with your front stage self, you're performing to an audience. But through impression management, you're manipulating the audience into the impression they're making of you over what you're choosing to portray.
This is something that I personally feel like I have an interesting experience with, because I feel like something that annoys me a lot personally is when I'm feel like I'm being perceived wrong. You know, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong to make it so that
there's, where have you got this perception
of like who I am? And I feel like that is sometimes very frequently at the root of like people's conflicts, of they're like, oh, like that person so and so so mean, and they're, but so and so doesn't think that they're mean. It's just like we're all coming from someone else and interpreting different situations differently, right? And so I feel like I definitely participate in this impression management frequently, trying to make sure that like I'm coming off in the way that I want to be coming off. And you can do that in so many ways, like the way you dress, the way you talk, how you, your facial expressions, like,
Absolutely. I think it would be very hard to find someone that hasn't engaged in impression management.
They would probably have to be living alone for their whole life.
Yeah, because you always hear the phrase of, like, the first impression is the thing that, like, lasts. Your first impression. So you want to put your best foot forward with your first impression. And so you're instantly doing impression management right there.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to manipulate how someone who's never met you is going to see you and make sure it's exactly what you want them to take away and see from you.
Yeah.
And it is like applying it, your Instagram example works really well, because if you apply it, this is probably one thing that you can really take from Goffman and it be applied to contemporary society, is through the internet and through social media. Social media, you are constantly creating this perfectly curated version of yourself.
For better or for worse. But like, even like, say, oh, you're like, oh no, I'm above that, I don't post. But like, you're still like commenting on stuff, liking people's stuff, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's something where people will say, no, I post like my true self now. I post unfiltered pictures, or I don't edit pictures anymore. And that's like, makes sense.
That's still giving an impression though. Your impression is that like, oh, like I think that that's below me, or like I'm trying to move away from that, but that's still like creating an impression. I feel like some people might be wondering, is like, I feel like the word manipulate is kind of like has some negative connotations. I don't think this is the same thing as being fake or shallow or anything. I think this is just an experience of being human. It's convenient to you for people to understand who you are, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fake, because you have the impression, you know what you want people to view you as. So it's not being fake because that's what you want. That's who you see yourself as.